We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Because the grace of God when given is not in vain. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are still in your sins, and then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. And then comes the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet, but when He says all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. We come now to verse 24. We looked last week at verse 23. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. And we looked at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching of John and others concerning the coming of Christ, the final resurrection of the just and the unjust, all being brought before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And He says in verse 24, and then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. There is the resurrection of the dead at Christ's coming, and then cometh the end. He describes what is entailed in the end. Number one, delivering up the mediatorial kingdom to God. Number two, putting down all rule, authority, and power. When He comes, that signals the end. And the end is when He shall have delivered up the mediatorial kingdom to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Christ often spoke of His kingdom. His kingdom was not of this world, though it ruled over this world. Matthew 28. In verse 18, Jesus came, this is after the resurrection, Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So for our dear brethren who don't believe that Christ is reigning right now, then I'm not sure what He's doing with the all power. All power He has in heaven and in earth. He was invested with all power in heaven and earth for what purpose? For the sake of the mediatorial kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. He had accomplished their salvation, and he would bring all of his elect to faith in Jesus Christ, and he would bring this world back into submission to his Father, as it was originally created, only better, in that it will be in a fixed state of righteousness. And so he is invested with all power. In Acts chapter 2, go there for a moment. Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, so there's our resurrection again, whereof we are all witnesses, and therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So we see that Christ is invested with all power. He is then raised to the right hand of God the Father above. So therefore he is seated. And it talks about us being seated with him in the heavenlies. He is seated at the right hand of the Father above, invested with all power to accomplish the work which the Father gave him to do in the mediatorial kingdom of Christ, which was accomplished through those hymns that we sang, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin, in which there is no remission of sin without that shed blood. But with it, there is. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, on that account, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he is resurrected. He is again exalted. Here it says highly exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. He has all power. He has a mediatorial kingdom. To what end? To the end that all should bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, of all in heaven or in earth or under the earth. They will all bow to him. And this he accomplishes. This he accomplishes today. Because there will be souls converted today in the earth. And they will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be accomplished today because hundreds of thousands of people will go to meet their Maker today. And those who have scorned Christ will at that point be bowing to Christ. Bowing to his power, bowing to his purposes, bowing to his purpose for them. So back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. He says, for David is not ascended into the heavens. And what he means by that is not that the soul of David is not ascended into the heavens, because we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that Solomon said that the body goes to the earth while the spirit rises to heaven. But what he means by that is that David's body, he says David is not ascended into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. No, they said, we know about David. His sepulcher is with us. His body has not yet been raised. But this Christ, we saw him raised, and he was given all power. And he is seated at the right hand until his foes are made his footstool. So Christ will be seated according to the Holy Scriptures, according to Psalm 110, which is the most quoted psalm throughout the whole New Testament. Christ will be seated at the right hand of the Father until such a time that all his foes become his footstool. Which means all the elect have to be converted and brought to faith in Christ. And which means that at that point, which will be the end, the final end, when he will come to destroy all of his enemies who don't belong to him. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know God has made that same Jesus Lord and Christ. He is Master and he is Messiah. And that's why we talk about a mediatorial kingdom. It's a kingdom because he is Lord. He is Messiah. It is a mediatorial kingdom. He is the Messiah who is Lord, who rules and reigns, who has all power. In Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Christ is Lord of the dead and the living. Christ is Lord of all who died in the past. He is Lord of all who are alive today. He is Lord of all. Then cometh the end, our text says, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, the mediatorial kingdom to God. To deliver up is in the Greek an authoritative commitment of something to someone, to entrust, to hand over. The work of redemption, of rescuing a fallen world, was given to Jesus Christ. He was placed in the office of a mediator between God and men to reconcile the world to God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Christ says, all things are delivered to me of my Father. All things. And no man knows the Son but the Father, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They know each other's mind and heart within the Trinity. So he says, no man knows the Son, Jesus Christ, except the Father. And neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son wills to reveal him. The Godhead know one another within the Godhead, but we cannot know the Godhead in a fallen state. Adam knew them in the garden, but we cannot know the Godhead except to know that there is a Godhead, except to know that there is a God. That's the only thing we can know outside of the revelation of God to the soul. So Christ says, everything has been entrusted to me. This is his mediatorial kingdom. John chapter 3. John the Baptist says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. And he that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true, the one who does hear and receive the words of Christ. For he whom God hath sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Therefore, this is the mediatorial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Everything is given into his hand. All power is given to him. If you want to know God, you have to go to Jesus Christ. It is only Jesus Christ who can reveal the Father to us, who can reveal the the purposes of God. John chapter 13, toward the end of the life of Christ, verse 2, the supper ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and he went to God, he rose from supper, and of course this is where he washes the feet of the disciples. But isn't it interesting that after he speaks of the devil putting it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given everything into his hand. And so we see Judas doing his thing, which he thinks is his thing, and yet he is the whole time accomplishing all the purposes of God. Because everything is given into Christ's hand. Though he is betrayed, though he is crucified, though it is an unjust trial, though all those things take place and men are held accountable for it, it's all within his power and it's all within his control as he brings himself to the cross for the salvation of his people. John chapter 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. And the hour couldn't come until the purposes of God were complete. Glorify your Son, that thy Son may glorify thee as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. So once again, it is this sense of the mediatorial kingdom of Christ. It's the sense of power being given into the hand of Christ. You have given him power over all flesh. Christ has power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as the Father has given to him. The Father gives the elect into Christ as a gift, and Christ gives them life through his death. So Christ is a king who is establishing a kingdom which he will deliver up to God. That's what our text talks about, him delivering this up to the Father, back to the Father. When is the kingdom established so that it can be delivered back to the Father? Back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15:24, it says, then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, the mediatorial kingdom, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. That is, all authority, all rule, and all power that is not submitted to God. All that will be put down. All that will be taken away. So the work is described as putting down all rule, authority, and power. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Verse 11 says, every priest stands daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, there the shed blood of Christ in the mediatorial kingdom, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies are made his footstool. So once again, same text quoted here in the book of Hebrews. The work is described as Christ seated until all of his enemies are his footstool. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. And so that when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. But look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, for he has put all things under his feet. So why does the one say when he shall have, and the other one says he has put it? By verse 24, we would understand this as a future event. And it is a future event. His mediatorial kingdom continues to this day. He continues to bring the lost to himself. It has not been wrapped up yet. But in verse 27, it seems to be accomplished already. Well, verse 27 is the decree. Verse 27 is showing us what God has determined to do, what he has purposed to do. For he has put all things under his feet. He has put all things under the feet of Christ. He has given him the command to take dominion over all the earth, to restore it as the second Adam in the mediatorial kingdom. That is the decree. Verse 24, then, is the accomplishment of the decree in time. And yes, that is a future event. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Now, Brother Shane read to us this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And look at verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. It's not angels who will rule. But one in a certain place testified, and this is out of the Psalms, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things under the subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now we know that man originally created, everything was put in subjection to him. God put man in charge over all of the creation. And when man fell into sin, there was a corruption of that authority, a corruption of that rule of the man over all things. So we have Christ coming as the second Adam, as the head of a new race. The race called Christians. The race who are called all those who are the chosen in Jesus Christ. And so Christ comes, he's made a little lower than the angels for suffering, the text says, for suffering. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and yet crowned with glory and honor. And so here we have the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. We have the fact that man was put in charge of the earth. That was God's purpose for man, that he would exercise dominion in the earth for the glory of God. That's what his purpose was in the garden. Man fell from that purpose. Satan usurped authority. Christ comes as the mediator between God and man to be the head of a new race. And he is made a little lower than the angels. And it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 8, but now we see not yet all things put under him, that is, under mankind. We don't see all things put under mankind. We don't see all things put under the believer yet. But we see Jesus. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see him exalted on high as the mediator and as the head of a new race to accomplish this. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one. So that Christ as the head and the believers who are the fruits afterwards, Christ is the first fruits, and they come afterwards at the resurrection, they are all one. They are one. They're one in that this is the new race of men, of human beings, who are redeemed human beings. And this is all a part of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So he says in verse 24, then comes the end when he shall have delivered, the kingdom to God. That is, Christ shall have delivered up the mediatorial kingdom to God. The subject is acting. Christ is delivering it up. The time of action is in the aorist tense, actually. It's in the past, even though it's a future event, because it's viewed often as in Scripture it is, as something that's accomplished. In the Greek, it's past tense, but it's because God views it as accomplished already, because whatever God determines shall be accomplished. Then comes the end when he shall have delivered. It's in a point of time, and it's in the subjunctive mood, which means the action is not presently taking place, but it is something in the future that is a possibility. And in this case, not just a possibility, but a possibility made certain by the power and faithfulness of Christ and his mediation. So he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority. Once again, the subject is acting. Christ putting down all rule and all authority and all power, because all power has been given to him. Therefore, all usurpers are going to be taken away. And once again, this is past. It's the action is past, even though it's a future event, because it's viewed as accomplished, as certain, made by the faithfulness of God. So what happens is, what is happening is, he is delivering up the kingdom back to God as one who is given a great trust. Like a king who sends out a knight to go do a particular work and to go conquer a kingdom. And that knight goes out and he conquers that kingdom. He brings back the spoils. And what does the knight do? He gives the kingdom back to the king. Because of the nature of that reign, the mediatorial reign must come to an end. It says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The mediatorial reign of Jesus Christ has to come to an end. Why? Because of the nature of that reign. Why must the mediatorial reign come to an end? Because Christ intercedes for us. Strong says this intercession is the special activity of Christ to secure, upon the grounds of his sacrifice, whatever blessing comes to men, temporal or eternal. We are brought to faith by the intercession of Jesus Christ and mediation. And that intercession to bring men to faith will come to an end. Why? Because in heaven there will be no unbelief. There will be no one to be brought to Christ. All will have been brought to Christ. He prays that our faith will fail not. In heaven it cannot fail. So there will be no need for the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. He assures us midst our doubting. In heaven there will be no doubts, for faith will be sight. So this aspect, this office of the mediatorial work will no longer be. All temporal blessings are given to us from this rule of Christ. Yes, even in the fact that men receive mercy, the general mercies of God. Even the fact that we are healed and brought into wellness. None of that will be necessary, because in heaven there is no sickness. Christ leads us in this world midst bewildering circumstances. In heaven, there will be no bewildering circumstances. There will be no confusion. He comforts us midst tears. In heaven, there are no more tears. The tears are taken away. Christ brings us safely through death by his mediatorial work. In heaven, there will be no more death, as our text is going to say in a little bit. Death is going to be the last thing destroyed. Therefore, when the last of the elect are converted and the bodies of the saints are raised and glorified and all our enemies are destroyed, then this great work of the office of the mediator shall be fully discharged, fully accomplished, fully successful. all things will be accomplished at that point. And there will be no need for this mediatorial work, because it will have been absolutely successful in all that it did. And Christ will have accomplished his work. For he must reign. For he must reign. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Till he has put all enemies under his feet. And he must put all enemies under his feet because the scriptures say that he shall put all enemies under his feet. The scriptures teach that he shall reign. It was prophesied that he shall reign, and the truth must prevail. He must reign because he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, because the one who is enthroned must prevail. So he must reign. And righteousness must prevail as well. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. So he must reign because righteousness must prevail in the earth. And so he must reign. The Lord Jesus Christ must reign. And the verses that deal with the reign of Jesus Christ presently are so many in the scriptures. Let's go to one in Isaiah chapter 9 and the prediction of the coming of Christ. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So it says that the government shall be upon his shoulder, and this speaks of the mediatorial reign, his kingdom, his ruling. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from now on, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see, first of all, that the government is put upon the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules. He reigns. We have seen that in all the other texts. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Is Christ upon the throne of David? Yes. It was said of David that there would always be someone upon his throne. Christ was the fulfillment of that. After Christ, there are no other to come to sit upon his throne. He is seated, enthroned on high, which we've seen through several passages, in the line of David. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And this is why I am optimistic about the work of the gospel, that there will be an increase of this government and governing in the world. And while men will point to, all of the war and ravaging that goes on throughout the world and say, surely Christ can't be upon the throne, I will point to them that the kingdom of God is going forth in every land and in every nation. Whereas at the time when Christ ascended into heaven, it was only there basically in Jerusalem, and then they began to take it to the world. And since that time, it has now invaded all countries, whether they are Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, animist. It does not matter what corner of the globe or what the religion is in that corner of the globe, the gospel of Christ, there is light there now. And that work continues to this day. He says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from now on forevermore. He is in charge of ordering all things. for he must reign till all of his enemies are under his feet. It is Christ's mediatorial reign that preserves the human race to this time and converts the human race to the ways of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. All of his enemies must be put under his feet, which means all sinful human nature, which is the enemy of God, Christ will either convert it or send it to hell. All sinful human nature, which is the enemy of God, it is said we are at enmity with God. It will all be either converted unto him and brought to submission, or it will be sent to hell. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. And here in 22 and verse 11, we read of the eternal state. And in that eternal state, in the end, when all is given up back to God, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So at that point, there is a fixed righteousness in which the saints will never sin again, in which he has accomplished a perfect holiness, a blamelessness. They'll be wearing the righteousness of Christ, not only as a legal statement, but also as a reality, that our sanctification will have become glorification, in which we'll be fixed in a holy state, in which we cannot sin. While those that are filthy will be fixed in a filthy state, in which they cannot come to Christ, and they can do no good. And forever they shall be punished by God. All enemies will be put under his feet. This evil world system and its godless philosophy is the enemy of God. All false systems, the kingdoms of this world, they will become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders that sat upon their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because you have taken to thee thy great power and you have reigned. All enemies will be put under his feet, which means all the nations of the earth, all of these authorities, all of these the powers will be dissolved, and it will all become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. All false systems will fail. All godless philosophy, which is the enemy of God, will be destroyed. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 8. And they shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints round about this final rebellion. And the beloved city and the fire came down from God and out of heaven and devoured them. And thus the end of all godless philosophy. It's finished. It's done. There is no more. All enemies will be put under his feet, whether it's our sinful human nature, whether it is the world and its godless philosophy, or whether it is the head of all of this, which is Satan. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. With every false religion, every false ideology, they will all be cast together in this awful place. All enemies will be under the feet of Jesus Christ. And he shall reign, and the earth which was usurped by Satan shall be recovered. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and he shall reign with his saints forever and ever in a perfect state of holiness and glory, a world of love, a world which God has not given up on, and Christ certainly hasn't given up on. He sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father right now, ruling and reigning. That is our comfort. That is our hope. That is our impetus to go out and take the gospel to the world, because he shall reign. He does reign, and all enemies will be put under his feet. Let's stand for prayer. Father, our God, we thank you. Thank you for the sending of thy beloved Son, thy only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the second Adam, as the one who came and took upon our nature and our flesh in order that he might suffer and die and bring us into a state of glory. We thank you for the work of conversion, of regeneration in the soul. Oh, we pray if there be any among us who are yet without the grace of Christ, that the love of God shed abroad in their hearts, that you might work a work in their souls, even this day, by thy power and by thy might. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. We bow to him this day. We bless his name. We are grateful as we see his work going on throughout the world, bringing men to Christ and suffering martyrdom at the same time for his name's sake. We pray that you might get much glory in our own lives, that we might see you for what you are, that we might see and understand Christ as the great Lord and Messiah and mediator between God and man, and the one who is ruling and reigning. May we honor you as we are. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord.